Did we forget to put the ending song on the...
Okay. Oh, crap. Did I?
You did.
Yeah. Son of a... Damn. I was just gonna... Fucker, fracker.
And at least it's at the very end, so it's moderately easier than if it wasn't.
I usually edit it in on most of them before, but... Oh, well.
It happens.
It happens.
This is John Lyons from Young Lyons. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study, not to bring back, but to wipe them out.
That's the plan.
All right, people, on the ready line. Iron Man! Yeah! Iron Man! Yeah! Where are you?
On the ready line, Marine! Get down to die! Get on the ready line!
Talk to me, Hudson!
I got signals. I got readings in front and behind.
There's nothing back here.
Look, I'm telling you, there's something moving and it ain't us.
Get them out of there!
They cut the power.
How could they cut the power, man? They're animals.
There's movement all over the place! 5 meters, man! 4!
Aliens. This time, it's war.
Hello, everybody, welcome to another Sana. Another?
Really? Another?
Three, two. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies. I'm Richard, along with...
Jonathan.
And Logan.
And we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And in this episode, we are going to be looking at the 1986 sequel to Alien, entitled Aliens. So, as the title implies, we have more than one this time. We have several. And Jonathan likes the "This is time, it's war" tagline. So, that's why they made the tagline, because it's cool. I'll have to admit, it is cool, but when you grow up with aliens, it's aliens.
We had 4 aliens instead of 1.
Well, more than that.
True,
but a whole nest.
True, but remember the little interview thing, too. They had 3 suits to work with or so, didn't they?
Oh, 6 suits.
I thought it was 3.
It was 6. And then the queen.
Yep.
But this one, 57 years after Ellen Ripley survived her disastrous ordeal, her escape vessel is recovered after drifting across the galaxy as she slept in cryogenic stasis. Back on Earth, nobody believed her story about the aliens on the moon LV-426. After the company orders the colony on LV-426 to investigate, however, all communication with the colony is lost. The company enlists Ripley to aid a team of tough, rugged space marines on a rescue mission to the now partially terraformed moon to find out if there are aliens or survivors. As the mission unfolds, Ripley will be forced to come to grips with her worst nightmare, but even as she does, she finds that the worst is yet to come. And that is written up by Brian Rawlings from IMDb.
Dun, 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 so, dun.
This is one where Sigourney Weaver reprises her role as Ripley, and we find out her first name is Ellen. I don't know if we ever found that out in Alien, but that's cool. Some of the other key characters are Newt. It's a young girl they find on the station. And we have Corporal Hicks, Lieutenant Burke, Bishop, Private Hudson. Excuse me. Did I say Lieutenant Burke? No, that's not right. We have Burke, Bishop, Private Hudson, Lieutenant Gorman, Private Vasquez. Private Vasquez and Sergeant Apon. Those are the main characters that I really, really think are the key people. The others are kind of fodder for everything.
Like the first
alien
4
food.
People to go boom.
Yeah, the first ones go boom.
Alien food.
Yep, alien food.
Num, num.
But this is one where it starts out almost, well, even though it's 57 years later, it starts out automatically right after Ripley gets into the escape shuttle, because junkers, space junkers basically find the escape shuttle.
Yeah.
And they take her back to Earth, basically.
They don't kill her for the salvage, so they're better than some people who do salvage are portrayed.
That is true. They do not
kill her. I remember that's something that, maybe it's the Nathan Drake thing that I'm thinking of, but sometimes salvagers are portrayed in not the kindest light in that respect.
True, they can. Some salvage people, they want the money, so if there's anybody there, they'll kill them and go on and say, oh no, nobody was here. Yeah. And it's space. Who's going to know? Erase the tapes and go on. But this one, she goes back, and as they said, the company pretty much suspends her license because they don't believe her. She's a fool of hockey. And Burke is supposedly her representative. That doesn't represent her all that well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she's working, instead of being a pilot, she's now driving a cargo loader, which is a big old machine that's an exoskeleton type machine to haul around big pallets of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It has two, basically, what are those?
Claws, I guess you would call them.
Flat grasping ones. Yeah. It's like
kind of like a wrench or something.
Yeah, I think that's it. The thing with the wheelie thing in the middle that goes up and down.
True.
Crane?
No.
No.
It's handheld. I think wrench might be it. It's a wrench. I'm not sure.
It's a wrench. But they later on, she gets a call back and says, oh, we have a problem on LV-426. Can you help us? And she's like, hell no. And then they keep pressuring her. And then she has a dream and says, okay, let me call Burke. Cause are you going to kill him, as you heard in the trailer? And he says, yes. But.
Yeah. Burke is a liar.
Burke's pretty much the bad guy in this one, not just the aliens, because Burke's in it to try to make some money, and he's trying to smuggle an alien embryo back to the company and claim it as his property and then sell it to the company to make buku money.
Something funny. If the people who had first managed to find the ship that he'd sent out there had actually managed to survive and everything, he would have been completely left out because
The supervisor gave him claim.
Go ahead and take claim, because even though the company sent you out there, don't worry, it's just yours. Go for it.
What's buku money?
Buku money?
Yeah.
Much money. A lot of money.
Buku. Billions upon billions upon billions.
Okay. Buku money. Bunch of money.
I want buku money.
Everybody does. So this one, and they call in the Colonial Marines, which I was like, all right, and I'm still like, all right, and I wanted this movie to go such a different direction, but it doesn't, or the franchise to go into a different direction. But
maybe I can show you that one game that I have, because
they have some Colonial Marines stories and games, but not movies.
True.
Colonial what?
Marines. Colonial Marines.
Though that does also remind me, Ellen's daughter, who apparently died 10 years previous to this movie, if I remember correctly, while she was in cryogenics or cryosleep.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There is a game based around her encountering aliens too. So
okay.
Yeah. It's moderately recentish, but it might be that the company wasn't so in the dark about aliens as they seemed, though I think that's been pretty much a thing for a while now.
Weyland Yutani
likes researching aliens a lot.
True. Well, different people in there. Why are you lost?
Because didn't they also do that in the Old West, according to some of the comics? Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I haven't read all the comics, dude. What you lost about?
In space.
What are you lost about?
What he was talking about.
Well, that's because that's comics and games. That's not the movie.
The only thing from the movie was her daughter died 10 years ago.
Yep.
That's it.
The main thing is that the Colonial Marines and Burke have enlisted Ripley to be an advisor to go back to LV-426 and to figure out why the colonists, terraformers, have not been transmitting. And, of course, they have to go up there. They're in cryostasis again to get there. They come out, and, of course, they go down to the planet and find out the supervisor of the terraformer one, they get a call from Later on, we find out it's Burke that says, go check this grid coordinate. They go out there. Well, that's where the derelict alien ship was at from the first movie, Alien. They've basically been on the other side of this planet, in a sense, or a different area, and haven't even gotten that far. Mm-hmm. And if Burke hadn't sent them there, there'd been nothing happening. But since Burke sent them there, they found the eggs. And so the eggs, you know, the facehugger, of course, came out and attached to one of the people, and they brought it back to the base. I think it was the
dad, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was the dad.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're terraformers. They're families. Oh. They're colonists, basically.
Okay.
So they go back, and of course, the aliens spread out. You know, these are just terraformers, colonists that
aren't equipped for warfare. They don't have the weapons. Though they did apparently utilize some bombs and...
Oh, yeah, they have some weaponry, but they're not small trained. Weaponry. Yeah.
The one thing
the bombs was for more terraforming, or like the bombs from Kong, basically.
I don't know about those that. Those were
supposedly for geological survey, stuff like that.
I don't remember mentioning it in this movie, to be honest.
Yeah, while they were first going through the thing, I think shortly after they found the hollowed out vertical place where an alien had bled, but I'm not sure exactly where.
Okay, Jonathan, what was that?
The one thing that I noticed was like the weapons, they were so bulky. I thought they were doing like behind the scenes shots on the set, because it looked like a video camera, because the weapons were so bulky.
That was the heavy weapon. It's kind of like, think of an M60, but twice as big. So they have a backpack that they put on, and they have kind of like an arm that comes over that assists with the movement of it, so that they can swing it around much easier, and it's lighter for them. So that's what you were looking at, was their heavy weapons.
People. So it seemed kind of like it was like a video camera.
Okay.
Well, if the video camera was spraying bullets instead of capturing video.
True. But they had the heavy weapons like Jonathan was talking about, and then they have the pulse rifles as well that were smaller rifles. And they did not shoot lasers. They were actually bullets, explosive-tipped bullets. Mm-hmm. They did have grenades and stuff like that. So this
and
was
flamethrowers.
Kind of, yeah, flamethrowers. So there was all this. But the main people in here, Lieutenant Gorman's a fresh lieutenant, you know, what's in the Marines. And in this case, they're Colonial Marines is what they're called instead of just Marines. So, you know, he is, you know, that idiot commander, basically, is what he's portrayed as. We have Bishop, who's a synthetic person, android, basically.
Much better than the last one. Though there was a few moments where you were thinking, and this one's going to go nuts and kill everybody, too.
True.
But nope, better than the last one.
He's there. He's for it. We have Corporal Hicks, which is probably the most stable of everybody, even though, he does not want command. But in the end, he has to take command. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, Sergeant Epon, he's there. He kind of has fun a little bit at the beginning of the show, but he gets killed off fairly early. It's Vasquez and Hudson that are probably... Vasquez is a heavy weapons person. She survives for quite a bit of the movie. She dies with the Lieutenant Gorman when they die together. They go out in a blaze of glory. They basically light off a grenade when the aliens are converging on them. Mm-hmm. And the one that's the most fun is Private Hudson. He's scared and just like... he's a short timer. Mm-hmm. So he's like, why am I here, man?
Short timer. Yeah. He didn't last very long in the movie?
No, he lasted
a short timer in the military.
Oh.
Sometimes I wonder if you were in the military, Jonathan. Come on now.
I was a short timer.
Short timer is somebody that their tour of duty is about over with. You only have like 2 weeks left of your contract.
Yeah.
So
he was so brave in that time when he didn't have any actual enemies to go for.
Yeah, that's true. He was
being the boastful one.
He was a mouth. He's the boastful one. That's true. Cut up. He liked to cut up with everybody. But this one is basically an action. It is horror still to a degree, but it's more action.
Yeah.
You have the aliens coming in, attacking the Marines, holding them off. And you're basically down to just three Marines, Ripley, the little girl that they find, and Burke for a while. Because you have just Gorman, Vasquez. Well, I don't count Gorman, but because he was knocked out for most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say four Marines. But it's Gorman, Vasquez, Hudson, and Hicks that are left out of the original group that went down, because the rest are pretty much slaughtered at the beginning because they find the hive.
Yep. And another important part that Ripley notes as they're getting there that, wait a minute, they're right near the reactor. If they shoot places with their actual bullets, that could spell the end of all of us.
Right, and that's what Logan's talking about when they're at the hive.
Yeah.
That's basically underneath a nuclear reactor that's helping terraform the planet. And this is a point where the lieutenant shows that he's green. He doesn't have much experience because he just says, Sergeant, collect their magazines and ammo. And they're like, why? And he doesn't even tell the sergeant on a private line.
He just goes, no plasma rifles.
Right. Because if he would have told the sergeant on a private line, the sergeant could have at least said, there's a reason. Give him up. You don't need to know, but there is a legitimate reason.
Because I think that might have actually been what put them on the timer to get out of there. I'm not sure, though.
No. Well, it was when she drove in and destroyed basically their tank-like vehicle. Mm-hmm. She drove in there, and when they were coming out, she tore up some stuff within there. And they were firing their weapons in there because the heavy weapons people kept an extra magazine and put it back in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what started the nuclear meltdown that puts you on the time limit that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The drop ship that they had to go down, I loved it because it reminded me, a futuristic helicopter almost. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. And I love that drop ship.
Though it fell to the sneaky aliens.
True.
Though the alien apparently never learned you don't kill the driver while the vehicle's in motion. Because I'm pretty sure that one died too.
Yep. Though
it was just basically one alien at least.
True.
So
probably the other main thing that comes out of this is we find out some of the physiology of the aliens. We only saw the one in the first one. With this one, we see multiple ones. And then we also get to see, like you said, the hive, which in hive, you have the queen.
Yep.
So, Shen, she's a big insect-like creature. She's huge.
Yeah.
And she's pretty bad. She's a tough one. And Ripley at the end pretty much trying to kill her. And she goes after Ripley all the way up to the main ship in orbit even. Yep. She has to fight her there again. And
out the airlock. Out the
airlock another time for another alien.
Apparently that ship had a lot of air in it.
True.
Otherwise, they wouldn't just be short on breath. They would be dead.
And the reason they show that Ripley becomes a loader operator is because she uses that exoskeleton of a loader to fight off the queen.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So they do bring him back. One of the fun things about this movie is some of the sayings that has come out of this movie. Some of them are fairly common now. Some of them not quite as common. But when you hear them, you're like, oh, God, yes, I remember that. When they first come out of, I think it's in the ATV when they're going into the hive, Sergeant Apom says, grab holes and elbows. So that was one like, oh yes, I remember that one. Oh, that's, but the most one is like Hudson. Private Hudson has the most one-liners that are just great. He finds that there's aliens are they're looking for the colonists, and they find them in that hive. And when they find him, he goes, stop your grinning and drop the linen. Or your linen. Stop your grinning and drop your linen. It's like, oh my gosh. Bill Paxton plays Hudson. It's great. He just does a great job. And then probably
might also be the first time that xenomorphs are referred to in the term of bug hunt, too.
Not true. Sure about bug hunts. That's true. Yeah. That is true. That is
apparently
there.
Apparently, that was previously just a general term, I think, for hunting animal types instead of human types. But
pretty much. And then Newt, the little girl, when they're saying affirmative, she gets it affirmative.
Yep.
And that's almost a regular trope for a kid in any military movie now. It's affirmative because they don't hear the affirmative. Mm-hmm. There's only two others. One is between Hicks and Ripley. He gives her a tracking wrist bracelet type deal so they can keep track of where she's at.
Which she promptly gives to the little girl.
Right, but that's not the point. Well, she gets that, and she was like, she looks at it and kind of looks back at him. I can't remember if she says thank you or not, but she looks back up at Hicks, and the corporal goes, doesn't mean we're engaged or anything. And that's a pretty common one anymore with a lot of things. When people give something to other people, you hear that, doesn't mean we're engaged or anything. But probably the one that's the most known, and this is going back to Private Hudson, Bill Paxton's character. The aliens are all around them. He's freaking out. Mm-hmm. And they're out there. And it's like, game over, man. Game over. And I mean, that's in our colloquialism. That's probably the most recognizable one out of the whole movie. And it's just fun. He's a fun character. And I wish he would have survived, but he didn't. He was dragged down and probably implanted with an egg.
It happens.
But in this one, they, you know, the only ones that survive are Hicks, Newt, Ripley, and Bishop, in a way, because he's an android. He's split in half. But Hicks is kind of splattered with some of the acid, but he did survive.
Mm-hmm.
And the next, and this is where I kind of said at the beginning where I was so excited about this, but then when the third movie came out, I was like, oh, because this to me was a great opportunity to take this franchise into a adventure sci-fi military-esque type show where, you know, kind of like Starship Troopers going after the bugs and killing them and being more military-esque and follow the Colonial Marines as they're doing their, you know, their rescue missions or whatnot. Follow Hicks, you know, to his adventures.
From a fair amount of the games are like that. So there is that. But there's also the ones that are still the horror aspect instead.
Oh, yeah. And Aliens will always have that true horror-esque just because of the nature of the alien. But it would have been cool for me because with me liking the military aspect, the stories is this would be cool. Follow, you know, make the corporal either, you know, make him an officer, so he's in charge of the unit or something, since he's the only survivor. Send him to officer school, and he has these scars that he has on him, and he's the no nonsense one. But of course, in Alien 3, we follow Ripley, and we still follow Ripley through Alien 4 as well. So this is one of the things that I was kind of a little bit let down by, is that we didn't follow the Colonial Marines in the movie universe. What do you think about the Colonial Marines, Logan, as a whole? Think they were pretty cool?
Yeah, especially playing as them, but yeah.
Especially what?
Playing as them. But
playing as them. I mean, in the movie, not video game.
Fairly good, yeah. The comms were a bit disappointing. They did not have very good comms in that nuclear reactor pit, basically.
Which is understandable. It's a nuclear reactor.
Yeah. He did try to pull the mech. He did try.
True.
They did not hear his order of
They were freaking out.
Run back.
They were freaking out a little bit by that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of time and go to some tweets.
Sweet tweets.
So here we go with some of the tweets for this go around. One of them was from Mike Schiavo. He just wanted to say thank you to Comic Pop Library for the kind words on my Back to Me video. And that is his music video that we featured on the website. And again, that was for a song entitled Back for Me. And that was kind of cool of him to respond in that way. And then another little tidbit on a German site. We were mentioned again in a, let's see, it's ca.eventbu.com. And basically in this magazine, they're talking about an upcoming June 17th event in 2017. And it'll probably be over by the time this one gets uploaded, which is fine. But the mix is taking part of this festival, evidently. And they make mention that the mix's success so far has gone beyond our continent. In Africa and North American continent, this was clearly documented by various media. For example, at the end of May 2015, an interview with Skype took place with a well-known American music magazine, Comic Pop Library. So we're a well-known music magazine. That is. Yeah. But we have been doing a lot of music stuff on the site, and we do review music as well for some of our podcasts.
Don't try to buy any magazines that are labeled comic pop library that isn't us. Yeah. Some other group, if it even exists. But
but it was kind of cool that they gave us that shout out. And again, that was a German website. It is ca.eventbu.com. Like I said, this was a translated from German, so the translation might have been a little bit off on what I read to you. But that was kind of cool that they mentioned us within the site again. So very cool, very cool, very cool. Back to Aliens. This is a standard franchise in the horror sci-fi genres. If you don't have these in your collections, it'll be very shocking. Yeah. If public libraries, these should be some of the classics that you should have within your collection. And we're going to be getting through the other movies of this franchise, as well as diving into Predator, because they do tie together eventually.
Yep.
And we'll be going through the Alien stuff first, and then we'll jump to Predator, and then we'll jump to the AVPs after that. So it's kind of a cool little franchise that they got going that started out separate, but they did pull it together. So that's kind of cool that it's there. For private collections, libraries, you know, if you're a sci-fi horror fan, you probably have this. If within your collection, most of these you could probably find in a collected edition of all four movies, probably. Or if you find them as individual movies, they should be reasonably priced. And they're coming out, you know, they're still putting some movies out there occasionally. Yeah. So
a new Aliens movie is probably going to be in theaters by the time this is out. But
true. And it's Aliens Covenant. It's
now coming. So.
Aliens Covenant. So that'd be cool. Coming soon, as I said. Or it might already be out now. Yeah,
by the time this has gone up, it's probably going
to
be out already.
You never know. But yeah. We're going to try to speed up the franchise portions of our comic popcorn movies, so we can get through these a little bit faster. So you might hear these dropped a little bit more regular. If Jonathan ever watched the movies, he might join in on the conversation instead of being lost. We're going to try to speed these up, get them out there a little bit faster. So the Star Trek franchises that we started, we're going to kind of put those on the back burner, because Logan was wanting to get through these Aliens faster and the Predators, and that's quite a few movies. And then we'll jump back to Star Trek after that. So plus, we'll also be doing regular movies that Jonathan throws us to look at as well. So we're going to enjoy them as well coming up.
Sometimes I give Richard a black eye by throwing it at him.
Yep. So, but that's all right.
Sometimes Logan gets the black eye too.
I generally am able to catch stuff.
He catches it, by golly. But anyway, like I said, this is a good one to have in your collections. We've been having fun discussing Aliens. Hope everybody's out there been having fun listening to us. We'll catch everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Plus, my glasses are a kind of shield. Bye.
See ya.
What'd you say?
Plus his glasses are kind of a shield. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.